John, I thought we'd start today's show by honoring Anthony Edwards by not saying anything for about 35 seconds.
Let's do it. Let's go.
One, two. No, we're not going to do that to you. What the hell happened?
Yeah. So Ant has a pregame routine that he does where he gets a lot of warmups in sort of the back hallways before he comes out for the game. And what a lot of people haven't really noticed, but is the case, he does not often participate in the pregame introductions. He's out, he's getting warmed up, he's getting his body loose, doing whatever he does, and then he comes out for the start of the game. This time around, he was so late doing it that he did not get out in time for the tip-off, and they had to put Nikhil Alexander-Walker out there. What Ant told us after the game was that he did lose track of time. Now, he didn't say exactly why he lost track of time, but if we want to connect dots, Anthony Edwards' girlfriend had a baby Friday night. He had to leave at halftime of the game on Friday to go to the hospital. He has been at the hospital with the girl as his daughter is, you know, comes into the world. And is getting cared for and everything. I think everything is okay on that front, but it's a newborn. I don't think his head is totally in things right now. And I think that could have contributed to him not being focused and not being locked in and being like, oh crap, I got to get out there. I'm running behind. And so just given this life-changing event that happened, I think that factored in some way, somehow, to him not being out on the court. And what all he wanted to say for us at the time, he didn't want to share exact details. He just said, I lost track of time. He clearly has to be more focused. It was a huge mistake. And then he did not play all that well in the game against Portland. And so, I just think his head is swimming right now and he's got to kind of find a way to lock in and refocus again, but it was not a good look. But when you factor in everything that's been going on in his life the last couple of days, I think that is going to lead you in the path of what the heck happened there in that moment.
Right. Yeah. We were talking to him, must have been Sunday night after the game. And he basically said, hey, I'm tired. or maybe it was the previous Wednesday. Yeah. I can't remember. One of the last games I covered.
Yep, it was Sunday.
Like, yep. And he was like, I'm really tired. And, you know, and you get it. You get it. It's just missing the opening tip is a little strange.
It wasn't a good look like that. And he was the first half, especially he was just not there in the game. And like you have to be able to try and compartmentalize as best you can. And I just don't think he did a very good job with that. And maybe getting a couple of days off here now after a long stretch of games and, you know, will help him just kind of get his feet underneath him and go forward here. But his head was not anywhere near target center on Monday night for most of the game and certainly in the pregame. And that was not good.
And what did you make of the consecutive losses to Western Conference contenders, Sacramento in overtime, Clippers by 1 point? I mean, we're always judging results, but do those results matter that much at this juncture?
Well, I think it matters, but you know, I see it sort of two ways. One is they went 4-3 on this homestand, which is not what they wanted. They were shooting for 6-1, 5-2. 4-3, is underwhelming. Their losses were to the Bucks, who have not lost since the All-Star break, and then the Kings and the Clippers back to back. The total points in those losses, they lost those three games by a grand total of 10 points. They lost the Clippers game by 1 point. And so on one hand, any kind of panicking about where they're at, I think is completely misguided because they are playing really good teams. They are right in these games. They are literally like six buckets away from a 12-game winning streak right now. So they are not getting blown out. And they're just coming up a little bit short against really good teams. There is nothing illegal against that about that. In a long season, you're going to have a little bit of some stretches here and there that that you look at and say, you're not playing your best basketball. Like, what's going on here? And so that's the reality of their situation. So I do not think that there needs to be panic, that there needs to be, these guys are frauds. They're going out in the first round of the playoffs, any of that. That's completely unhinged to me. That said, on the other side of the equation, it is clear that they have some real improvement that needs to be done with their fourth quarter offense in close games. When they are playing game teams and winning by double digits, they are very good and they look really impressive. But when they are in tight games against good opponents, they sometimes have a very difficult time getting good shots, getting good offensive flow, and stringing together good possessions without turnovers. And when you think forward to the playoffs, a lot of the games are close. They come down to the wire. Are they going to be able to execute at a high level to win games that you're going to need to advance in the playoffs? That is a concern at this point. And the Wolves have 20 games left in this regular season now, and all of their efforts have to be built toward improving their late game offense, or they are going to be vulnerable in the first round, in the second round, and any of the rounds against quality teams. So I am concerned about their late game offense, but I am also not going to look at three losses by a tiny margin to three very good teams and say there's no way that they're going to be able to fix it, or you know, they're for sure one and done in the first round type of a team.
What would improve the fourth quarter offense?
First and foremost, and we've talked about it all season, but their inability to take care of the ball has been backbreaking in a lot of these. They had 6 turnovers against the Clippers in the fourth quarter. They had 8 turnovers in the second quarter against the Clippers after they had built a 15-point lead to give that all away. So they seem to just go through these portions of games where it's not only one or two turnovers here or there, it's 4 or 5 in a 7 or 8 possession span. And that just really handcuffs them in terms of trying to get good shots, in terms of trying to get second chance opportunities with some of their offensive rebounding. And it also feeds into very easy baskets for their opponent, whether it's Norm Powell stealing and going down and getting a wide open dunk, whether it's threes in transition. Those are the kinds of things that really hurt the Wolves. And the second part of that, which is related to the turnovers, is that the decision-making from Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards just has to improve. And the problem that the Wolves have right now is that their two best and most dynamic offensive players are also their two most volatile decision makers. And so the ball is going to be in the hands of Cat and Ant a lot late in games. And they are going to have to develop more discipline and more patience and more understanding of where the weaknesses are in the defenses that are being thrown at them, so that they can create better shots for their teammates and also create easier shots for themselves by moving the ball quicker. I think a lot of times we have just seen the Ant driving into traffic and then throwing it away. Karl Anthony Towns trying to force things against a double team, offensive foul, turnover going the other way. Like, those are things that have to be drilled into them, that they need to look at in the film room and understand the stakes that are at play here and the scrutiny that is going to be on both of them. So that's what we're kind of dealing with right now. And if they can somehow get a better understanding and a better feel for things over these 20 games, they're going to be in great shape. But if not, that's going to be a continuing concern going into the playoffs and going forward.
I have a follow-up question on that, but I think we got into the show so quickly, I don't think I ever even introduced the show properly. Let me do that. He's John Krasinski. This is the John Krasinski Show. This is our Timberwolves and NBA show at TalkNorth.com. We have the best sports lineup in town. Check out all of our other shows and our other hosts and experts. We also have outdoor content, variety content, and we appreciate you listening. We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We want to thank our producer, Brandon Morton, and we want to thank our sponsors, Define Destinations, DefineDestinations.com. John's going to be taking a group of probably mostly Timberwolves fans to Spain this summer. We'll tell you more about that in a second. Also want to thank TSR Injury Law, longtime sponsor, 612 TSR Time, and Head Flyer Brewing, where we have so many of our live shows. Also want to thank Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops Clothing Line. Use the promo code JONK20, JONK20, to get a discount on their fine stuff that you see so often at courtside. And we'll get to, we'll thank all of our sponsors here in a second. Is it as simple as better ball movement, maybe Conley dictating a little bit more, or is it more going to come down to Ant making the best decisions in the fourth
quarter? Well, I think it's sort of a combination of both, but Chris Finch has talked about probably having to put the ball in Conley's hands, at least to initiate offense a little bit more at the start. Oftentimes, later in games, you will see Ant with the ball early on in the possession, probing, trying to make things happen and going off that way. I think we have seen Edwards make real improvements over the course of the season in terms of the passes that he has seen, in terms of finding guys when the defense collapses on him, hitting open guys and on drive and kick situations and creating good looks for them. So he's made really good strides, but he still has another step or two to go. And so in some respects, you just have to keep putting him in those situations and letting him learn each time from them. But also, I do think that what Finch wants is Mike Conley being the quarterback a little bit more and seeing if you can get Anthony Edwards moving without the ball a little more and see if that kind of creates a different kind of energy to their late game offense that can get it going a little bit more. It's hard to deviate from a player as dynamic and as difficult to guard as Anthony Edwards is at the start of possessions late in those games. But I do think that putting the ball in Conley's hands to start it can get them going in the right direction a little bit more and sooner in the clock. And so I think that Finch will look hard at that and probably increase the usage that Conley has in those situations as we go down the stretch here.
Tell us about the Defined Destinations trip.
Cannot wait for this trip. End of August, August 22nd through 29th, we are going to Madrid and Barcelona, two of the most exotic cities in the world. And we're going to do it with DefinedDestinations.com. Go to DefinedDestinations.com. Search for A Taste of Spain with John Krasinski, and you'll see the unbelievable setup that we're going to have in Spain at the end of August. We are going to have 4-star hotels in the hearts of Madrid and Barcelona. We are going to have tours of sangria, food, art museums, famous landmarks, anything you could want to catch in 3 days in Madrid, 3 days in Barcelona. But also, one thing that was really important to me is we're going to have some really group activities. We're going to have some great meals at the start and at the end of the trip together. But we're also going to have some free time to go and explore on our own. If there are certain things that you want to see, that you want to do, that aren't on any itinerary, that's great. Do what you want to do with it. But also know that we are going to have this trip set up with the guidance and the people to make sure that we absolutely maximize it. It's going to be my first time in Spain. I cannot wait to be out over there together with you all. Again, go to DefineDestinations.com, A Taste of Spain with John Krasinski. Sign up by the end of May, and so we can get everything locked in and going. And it's going to be a trip that will be absolutely unforgettable. I hope that you all can join me.
Thanks also to our longest running sponsor, TSR Injury Law. Saw Steve Terry wearing flannel at courtside on Monday night. We need to catch up with Steve here soon. They've been great to us. They'll be great for you if you ever need their particular kind of help. We don't want you to need an injury lawyer, but if you need an injury lawyer, you're going to need a really good one, someone who's ethical. And the great thing about TSR Injury Law is they will not charge you unless they win your case, and they win a lot of cases. So just remember, 612 TSR time, 612 TSR time. All right, how are you feeling about the Western Conference at this moment? It feels like the Nuggets have kind of said, okay, we relaxed for some of the season, we treaded water, and now we're making a move. Clippers have been the best team in the West since the beginning of December. Oklahoma City's hanging right in there and still a very impressive team. And then you got six other teams that all have something to speak for, you know, to speak for them, either star power or a good, just a good roster. Where do you see the Western Conference power rankings standing at the moment?
Yeah, it's just incredible right now, Jim. When you look up and down the West through at least, you know, the top 10 teams, because you have essentially two tiers right now. You have the top four, which have separated themselves a little bit from the pack, the Wolves, the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Clippers. Then you have 5 through 10 who are all sort of, you know, kind of hanging right in together that are competing for those spots. And it's the Pelicans, the Suns, the Kings, the Mavericks, the Lakers, and the Warriors. And maybe the scariest part of this is that the Lakers and the Warriors, if the season ended today and there were no play-in tournament, would not make the playoffs. But they're going to be likely in that play-in tournament. And you might have LeBron James and Steph Curry in the play-in tournament, and, you know, for the 7 and 8 seeds. And then they might advance out and be the 7th and 8th seeds when come playoff time. And so if you're the Wolves in one of the top two seeds, you're going to have to maybe conquer a giant to just get into the second round. And, you know, at the top, it is airtight. I mean, you lose one game and you fall from one almost, you know, close to three. Or, you know, you might get the benefit of another team losing and you're right back on top, which is what happened to the Wolves these last couple of days. And so it's going to be nail biting all the way down the stretch. The Wolves have three games left against Denver. They have a couple games against the Lakers. They have another road game against the Clippers. So there's still a lot of head to head matchups that are coming up too, that are just going to make it really have sort of a playoff environment, you know, even before we get to the playoffs.
No doubt about it. And as you said, three games left the Nuggets. Bad timing. You know, the Wolves might have had a better shot earlier in the season before the Nuggets got it rolling. But man, that's going to be highly entertaining, especially the way these teams went at it in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, and not only three games, Jim, but two of them on the road. Yep. And two of the games are the second nights of back-to-backs for the Wolves. So the Wolves had a benefit early on within the first 2 months of the season in terms of they played very few back-to-backs. They often had their opponents on the second nights of back-to-backs, so they had rest advantages all over the place. Now they are in an absolute grind of a schedule. They had three back-to-backs on the 7-game homestand. They have several more coming up down the stretch. And everything is compressed. And so it is evening out for them. So if the Timberwolves are going to emerge as the number one seed in the West, they are going to absolutely earn it with the schedule that they have and just the workload that is going to be on these guys down the stretch.
I want to talk about what's going on with the sale of the team. We want to get some in-depth insights from John on that. Right now, though, tell us about Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops clothing line.
Yeah, Lamb Chops Clothing, you guys have seen Jordan Dye and Craig McCall sitting courtside at Timberwolves games. They are huge Wolves fans. They had a collaboration with some Wolves gear earlier this season. So they support the Timberwolves. They support the John Krasinski show now as well. And so the best thing that you all can do as Timberwolves fans and as fans of this podcast is to support them and go to lambchops.com to see the sweatpants, the merchandise, the shorts, the t-shirts, the hoodies, everything that they make. It is super high quality. It is unbelievably comfortable clothing and really stylish. And so they have my favorite shorts that I have. I have two pairs of Lamb Chop shorts that I wear all the time in the summer. They are so comfortable. They are so high quality. I have some of their hoodies. I have some of their t-shirts. You can just feel the quality of it. Now, if you use the, if you go to sglambchops.com, use the promo code JohnK20, J-O-N-K-20, for 20% off anything at the online there. And so go there, check it out. By the at the end of this show, we will also have a Twitter question to give away a free Lamb Chops beanie. But we really thank them for supporting us, and we hope that you support them. Again, sglambchops.com, the promo code JONK20 for 20% off all of their great clothing at SG Lamb Chops.
And what's going on with Head Flyer Brewing these days?
Super exciting right now at Head Flyer Brewing, because by the end of this week, we're recording this on Tuesday, March 5th. At the end of this week, they are going to bring Crunch Time beer back on tap. And it's going to be also at local liquor stores. So they are canning our collaboration, the John Krasinski Show collaboration with Head Flyer Brewing. It's a citrus wheat ale. We debuted it last spring. And now it's coming back again for this spring for March Madness, for the Timberwolves playoff run. So you can go into Head Flyer Brewing in Northeast Minneapolis and find it on tap by the end of this week or early next week. And also by next week, you'll also be able to find it in your local liquor stores in the metro area. And we will have more details for that on exactly where you can find it coming up here soon. But it's really cool to see the cans. The cans look super cool. And it's just going to be out there. You can purchase it. You don't have to go into the tap room, but we do suggest you go into the tap room because it's an awesome time to go there, hang out, wonderful bartenders and servers. They have flat screen TVs to watch Wolves games, to watch March Madness. And we will be also be doing another live show at Head Flyer before the playoffs. And we're still working out the details on that, but keep an eye out for that. Again, Head Flyer Brewing, Northeast Minneapolis. And go and get yourself some Crunch Time beer, our citrus wheat ale collaboration with Head Flyer.
Please patronize our sponsors. They've been great to us. They keep the network going, keep the show going. So if you get a chance, spend your money with them, and we do appreciate it. All right, tell me what the heck's going on with the sale of the Timberwolves at this moment.
Yep, there's some confusion last week about the way that it was characterized. As some sort of idea that a deadline had passed by the end of February for Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lori to have their payment to Glenn Taylor to complete this transaction. Right now, there's a 40% payment due by the end of March, actually, for to vault Mark Lori and Alex Rodriguez from minority owners into majority owners of the team. And I think that this has been a very unconventional process, right? When Rodriguez and Lori came to agreement to buy the team from Glenn Taylor, it was not, hey, we are giving you a check for $1.5 billion right now. We're going to take it over. We're going to take the keys to the car and drive it off the lot. For various reasons, including that Glenn Taylor wanted to continue being the majority owner for a couple of years, that also Mark Lori and Alex Rodriguez wanted a couple of years to learn the league that they were unfamiliar with and to get their financial situations in order. All three people involved in this agreed on a plan to have a three-year process where Lori and Rodriguez bought equity in the team in installments, 20%, 20%, and then 40% to get to the 80% majority number and take over the team. As part of this process, every December, they had to exercise an option to buy the next chunk that they were in. So when it was reported in December that that Lori and Rodriguez had exercised their final option, some people took it to believe, hey, they're paying the money. It's all over. It's all done with. That is not the case. They had, what happens is when you exercise your option, it opens a window starting at 60 days after you exercise your option through 90 days for them to be able to pay the money and buy that chunk of the equity. And so the 60-day mark was at the end of February, February 29th or 28th, I believe. And so technically, Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie could have cut a check right then and there and say, okay, here's your money, Glenn. We're taking this over and we're going forward. But they did not have to do it by that point. The time that they have to do it is by the end of March here. It's like, it's the 28th or 29th of March coming up here to get that deal done. If they do not get the money by that point, then the deal falls through. Glenn Taylor holds on to the majority control. But everyone that I've talked to in the Alex Rodriguez, Mark Lurie camp is 100% supremely confident that they have the money, that it's going to be ready to go by that moment, and that this thing will go forward. We'll see how that all plays out. There's always a chance that it doesn't work, but they are steadfast that that is going to happen at the end of March. They just it was inaccurately characterized last week that a deadline had passed and that they needed another extension to get the deal done. That's not happening. The deadline was always the end of March. And so there we have it.
Good. Thank you for clarifying that. All right. You want to hit our Twitter question?
Yeah, let's do it here. So there's a lot of questions, both about the ownership situation and about kind of Anthony Edwards and about the offense that we've already gotten to. So I'm going to look at other one here. Where is it? Here. Yeah, this one from Sam Common or Kamen. He says, what are the odds of a wholesale rebrand coinciding with the new majority ownership this offseason? Does the timing make sense based on the age of the current base uniform set? I will say that I believe, and I'll check on this to be sure, but I believe that they have to do one more year with the current uniform setup before they change out. So the 24-25 season will be like the final year of that deal, and then they can go forward with a rebrand. And I do expect them to rebrand. I think that you have a new ownership that comes in that wants to put its own sort of fingerprints on the organization, literally and figuratively. I think that the current main uniforms that they have underwhelmed in terms of fan appreciation for them. That's one of the reasons that the classic uniforms right now are just absolutely on fire from a sales standpoint. They can't keep them in the stores, is because fans have a little nostalgia, of course, but they just love the look of them. And I don't think that, you know, they're too enamored with the look of the new uniforms. And so I would expect that as soon as they can do it, that Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie, again, provided that all of this goes through with their ownership transfer, will undergo a pretty sweeping rebrand, at least with the uniform look and how it's going to be going forward. It's going to be, these guys are kind of more in the bold camp. I think that they want to be a little bit more innovative and things like that. And so I would expect that to happen as soon as humanly possible. I don't think it's this summer. I think it's next year, but I'll check on that to be sure.
Very good. Well, and John will continue to keep us updated on things like that and the sale as we go forward here. Thanks for listening. Hey, we appreciate it. Good stuff from John as always. I'm out of the country next week. John will bring somebody interesting on as he always does to fill in. And we appreciate you listening to TalkNorth.com. Again, remember, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. And thanks to all of our sponsors, Aquarius Home Services, Define Destination, TSR Injury Law, Head Flyer Brewing, and Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops Clothing Line. And we'll talk to you next week.